This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وامتازوا اليوم أيها المجرمون. ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون. هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون. اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما بعد. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome and continuation to Tafsir Surah Yasin. We are on verse number 59, and we said that this passage is the second last passage of Surah Yasin, which is section number 5. And section number 5 was about addressing the stubborn and the blind, warning them what will happen to you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. However, what is interesting about this passage is that though it began speaking about what will happen to them when they wake up from the grave, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِمَّا قَدِنَا هَذَا. He would say, woe to us, who has awoken us up from our sleep? They will cry out for destruction. And Allah will say to them, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُوا نَفْسٌ شَيْهًا. Today, no one is going to be done an injustice to. You're going to get what you deserved. Then that was paused and a description of the people of paradise was given. إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. Today, the companions of paradise are busy enjoying themselves. Remember that from last week? And we said that wasn't a shift to another theme. Rather, that was a continuation, as if to say to those people, you know what's going to happen to the other guys? The people that used to mock, people that used to harm, they're going to enjoy themselves that day. And that's going to make you feel even worse. Now this verse 59 will go back to that scene that was paused, as in a continuation of the doom of those people will now follow. وَانْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Allah says, step aside today, O you criminals. This verse is an address to the people of disbelief. And it contrasts beautifully with the verse before this, which was an address to the people of paradise. In that verse, Allah said to those people, سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. Peace, a word coming from the Lord of Mercy. So the people of paradise will be spoken to you in such a beautiful way. They will be congratulated by Allah. And then, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. And then the people of disbelief, they will be spoken to with words of reprimand, with words of anger and contempt. Allah will order them, وَامْتَاز. Imtiyaz means to separate something that's mixed up. Ibn Atiyah said, all of humanity will be there on the day of resurrection. Mixed up believers, disbelievers and hypocrites. And the disbelievers and hypocrites will hope that perhaps we could get into paradise with the good guys. Perhaps we could get into Jannah with the believers. And whilst they are amongst that crowd, Allah will call out to them, separate yourselves out. Yeah, meaning, move to one side now. No longer can you be standing next to the believers. Today you will stand by yourselves. And Ibn Ashur said, Wamtaz ul-Yaw means, move to one side and make your way to your places in Jahannam. Yeah, your homes in Jahannam. Now start to make your way there, because that is where you are going to go today. You are not going to go to a place where they are going to. You're going to go somewhere very different. Al-Qurtubi said, that people will be told to separate themselves out into their groups, meaning the Christians with the Christians, Jews with the Jews, atheists with the atheists, and the leader of those people will be told to tell his people, let's go to our place in Jahannam. And Qurtubi said, once they enter their quarter of Jahannam, they will be locked inside and they will never be able to make their way out from that place. Nasallallahu salamat wal afiyah. May Allah protect and preserve us all, subhanAllah. So you can imagine, you know, Richard Dawkins, he's there, leader of the atheists, and all these people are being told, yeah, can you go line behind that guy, please? Yeah, all of you, and now make your way into Jahannam. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says that the people who were the followers, they will complain to Allah. They will say, oh Allah, those guys led us astray, punish them twice as hard. Allah will say to them, all of you are going to be punished twice as hard. All of you, don't blame anyone else today. Yeah, blame your own selves. You earned this yourself. Don't try and blame your leaders. وَابْتَازُ الْيَوْمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Therefore, being told to step to one side is a form of psychological torture. It's kind of like, you know, when the teams are being selected for the football match and someone goes, okay, you go there. And then the last person always feels embarrassed. I mean, every time, no one ever picks me, man. I'm always the one that's left out. So, yeah, okay, bro, yeah, you go to that team. Yeah, no one wants you, but anyway. So it's the idea that they will be told, look, now you're going to be exposed. You can't run, you can't hide. Now what's going to happen is that you will be standing alone by yourself. They can't hear us? Oh. Verse number 59, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. So when they are told to separate, they will be labeled a particular label. Instead of saying, you people move to one side, Allah says مُجْرِمُونَ. مُجْرِمُونَ is a label. It means criminals. In fact, Ibn Ashur said, it doesn't mean just someone who's done something wrong. It's someone who's been convicted of a crime. So they are called with the label مُجْرِمُونَ. The order to separate themselves is said with the label criminals. Now why do you think that's significant? Why didn't Allah just say disbelievers move to one side? Instead Allah said criminals, now you move to one side. What does that teach us? The label mujrimun. Yeah, you're mujrimun. Criminals, you need to step to one side now. What's the benefit of the label criminals there? Yes.
It clarifies that those people have done something which is not right.
Very good. Ahsant. It highlights the justice of Allah. Yeah. Allah is not speaking to them and asking them to do such a terrible thing and psychologically torturing them for no good reason. Or rather, the reason is those people are convicted criminals. What they have done in their life, they deserve to be punished in this way. And so the justice of Allah comes through in the words, Ayyuhal Mujrimun, O criminals. Some of the lessons we learn from this verse are as follows. Firstly, the confusion we live in today will be removed on the Day of Judgment. Sometimes, you know, when you look at the news, and you look at the situation the Muslims are in, you don't know where the truth lies. You don't know who's telling the truth anymore, you don't know who's lying, you don't know who's with us, you don't know who's against us. However, on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, every reality will come to the fore, and people will know exactly who was on whose side on that day. Imtazul Al-Yawm shows us that people will not be able to hide on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. They will become exposed. And Allah says about the hypocrites that they will be with the Muslim community on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And then they will be given a light. And that light they will use to enter paradise. But Allah will remove the light from the munafiqun. When He does, people will be able to see, oh, those people, they had a light, but now they don't have a light. Why is that? Because they were not really with us in the dunya. They were given a fake light now because they were fake Muslims in the dunya. And then Allah says, فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ. A huge wall will be erected between them and the believers. The believers march on into paradise and the munafiqun will be stumped by that wall on the outside. And that's beautiful, because in this dunya, they lived amongst the Muslim community pretending to be Muslims when they were really disbelievers. And people never knew who they really were. People never knew that there was a mask on their face. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah says, though they were inside of you, amongst you on this dunya, in the Akhirah, they will be on the outside. There will be a wall, physical wall placed, and they will be on the outside of that wall, and you will be in the inside of that wall. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the reality of people on Yawm al-Qiyamah. A second lesson we learn from this is that the punishment in the hereafter is both physical and psychological. We hear about the flames of Jahannam, and the Prophet ﷺ told us in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari that your fire in this dunya is only 1/70 of the fire of Jahannam. Your fire in this dunya is only 1/70 of the fire of Jahannam. Now, I was thinking about how hot volcanoes are. Yeah, what is the... Anyone know how hot the lava is of a volcano? Goes into 1,000 degrees. Yeah, 1,000 degrees. It's so hot that people don't get burned by being touched by lava, they get burned by being close to lava. That is how hot it is. Brothers over here, we're going to need to sort the situation out. Should we call the police or we can deal with it ourselves? You want to split up yourselves?
Mm-hmm.
I think you might be able to behave better as well.
Them around.
Yes.
Split them.
Why don't you split up? Two of you go to the back. That's it. Considering how hot lava is in this dunya can give you somewhat of an idea of how devastating the fire of Jahannam is going to be. Yeah. But that is a physical punishment. These verses show us that those people will not be punished just with a physical torture, but there's a psychological element as well. Being told to separate yourselves out, being exposed, being told to go into Jahannam, and then in the next verse, or the next in a few verses, Allah will say, enter yourself into the fire. Yeah. Being pushed into the fire is one thing, but being told to enter into the fire has a psychological torture to it as well. So this verse shows us that, subhanAllah, the punishment in Jahannam will be both physical as well as psychological. We ask Allah to protect and preserve us all from such a punishment. Now, verse number 60. Verse number 60 is what they call the last khutbah to mankind. The last khutbah to mankind, Allah will speak to humanity, and in particular the disbelievers, and give them a final khutbah. And in this khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us the covenant which He took with every single human being. Yeah? And the covenant is made up of two parts. The part one is in verse 60, part two is in verse 61. And so the scene is as follows. The disbelievers have been separated out. They've been moved to one side, and now they are being spoken to by Allah as one collective. And what Allah says is the following: أَلَمْ أَعْحَدَ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانَ. Allah says, O children of Adam, O children of Adam, did I not take a covenant with you that you would not worship shaitan? Yes? This is the first part of the covenant, which is what? Number one, you don't worship shaitan. Number two is going to come in the next verse, which is أَنِعْبُدُونِي, and instead that you should worship me. This is the covenant. Now, when was this covenant taken? Ali, yes, go ahead. When was this covenant? Which covenant is this referring to? Okay, this is one opinion. Ibn Atiyah said, this covenant, Ahd, is referring to the covenant that was taken when all of humanity was taken from the back of Adam alayhi salam in the form of souls, scattered before Allah, and Allah said, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your master? And this is the Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 172. And everyone said, Bala, yes, you are. Part of that covenant was that you don't worship shaitan and instead you worship me. However, other scholars like At-Tabari said, no, this covenant refers to the advice that every prophet came to his people with. Throughout the ages, Allah has sent many prophets. Anyone know how many prophets Allah has sent to mankind? Yes. In one hadith of Abu Dharr, he asked the Prophet ﷺ, a very strange question. He said, how many prophets came? Yeah, things that they would think about. I wonder how many prophets came. The Prophet said, let me ask him. And the Prophet said, 124,000. And then he said, how many of them were mursalun, meaning messengers, not Nabi, Rasul. And the Prophet said, anyone know? 324. Oh, no, not 324. How many people were at Badr? Yes, he said 313. Jamban Ghafira, he added, meaning that was a great number. Yeah, 313, and that was a great number. Now this hadith, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, some of the scholars said this hadith is weak. However, even if it is weak, he said that what is known is that every nation was sent a prophet. There was never a nation except that they were sent a prophet. And so the ahd Allah is speaking about here is the advice that he gave mankind through sending the messengers over and over again. And the essence of every prophet's advice was, don't worship shaitan, rather worship Allah. Okay? And so the ahd here, even though we translate it as covenant, it can be understood to mean advice. What is the advice of God to humanity? Yeah, it is of two parts. You want to ask something? Yes, go ahead.
Even the first opinion by Ibn Athiyah, what's the hikmah of us being given advice and then being made to forget that advice and then being reminded of that?
Okay, so if we said the first opinion refers to that covenant that was taken before even the creation of this world, we were taken on the back of Adam alayhi salam in the form of spirits and asked that question and we responded. What is the wisdom of that? Because we've forgotten that. No one can claim to remember that. And say, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I was there. You were next to me. What's wrong with you, man? No one can say that, right? Everyone doesn't remember that. However, what the scholars say, that was the memory of that was ingrained in our fitrah. Yeah, the memory of that was ingrained in our fitrah, meaning intuition of human beings was shaped according to that covenant. When a baby is born, he's born believing in God. How? Because of the covenant. So though they may have physically forgotten, they have not spiritually forgotten. Yeah, this is the way some of the scholars reconcile this. Anyhow, whichever covenant it refers to, the covenant is, don't worship shaitan, rather worship Allah. Now, some very interesting things to speak about in this verse. First of all, the verse ends by saying, don't you know that shaitan is a clear enemy to you? Yeah, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ. That he, a shaitan, the one I told you not to worship, is a clear enemy to you. Now the question is, why did Allah speak to the disbelievers on Yawm al-Qiyamah and refer to them as sons of Adam? What were they just called a moment ago? What was the label? Mujrimun, right? So why did Allah say, يَا مُجْرِمُونَ أَلَمْ أَعْدَ إِلَيْكُمْ or Adam A'adaylaykum Mujrimun, don't worship shaitan. Why call them sons of Adam? At the back, yes.
Because they had an equal chance to follow the religion as the Muslims, but they chose not to, and therefore being labeled as Mujrimun on this day.
Say that again.
So like, they had the opportunity in the earth to accept or follow Islam.
Yeah.
However, they didn't, and they are called Mujrimun for that reason, but Allah is using the word children of Adam now to show that they could have changed, they could have not been in the situation, but because of their actions in the world, they're called Mujrimun for that reason.
Okay, interesting. Anyone else? Why call them children of?
It's because he's referring to everybody.
Okay, that's the basic answer. Because, they were the children of Adam, meaning I'm speaking to all of humanity, I'm not speaking to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or somebody else. However, Allah just called the Mujrimun. And then Allah changes from calling the Mujrimun to children of Adam. There must be another reason, though. I'll give you a clue. It's in the last part of the verse. What does the last part of the verse speak about? Yes. What's the connection? Was it? No? Yes.
Beginning.
Okay, very good. You're getting close. So, Adam alayhi salam was shaitan. There was something that happened once upon a time.
Disobedience.
Carry on, yes. One word answers.
Shaitan
haram in this class. Yes. Yeah.
Is it just a reminder that this is the same jinn that had this issue with your father?
Yes, very good, Ahsan. Is to highlight that, look, the one who's your enemy was an enemy to your dad. All children of Adam, I told you not to worship Shaitan, the one who was an enemy to your own father. I mean, of all people, he tried to ruin the life of your father, Adam. And subhanAllah, Al-Hasan Basri said that Adam alayhi salam, he cried for 100 years when he was banished from Jannah and made to live on this earth. 100 years. And one of the early Muslims, he said that the tears of people of this world will not rival the tears Adam cried because of displeasing Allah after he did what he did. Imagine. And Ibn Kathir said every time Adam would look up at the sky, he would feel grief in his heart. And every time he would see an angel ascend, he would begin to cry. This is our father. Who put him in that situation? Iblis, Shaitan. Allah said, this one did this to your father. And I told you not to worship him. And what did you do? You neglected that advice. Yeah? Allah ta'budu Shaitan. Second question is, how do people worship Shaitan? Like, fair enough, there's some wacky people in America, Satan worshippers and so on and so forth, they dress like goths and listen to rock and roll. But is it just about those people? Or
no.
How does a person do ibadah and shaitan? Like, you know.
Through their actions.
Through their actions? How? Yes. Doesn't ibadah mean worship? So do they bow down to shaitan and
Listen to the commands.
Listen to the commands? Yes.
Going to other, you know, places, like, they go to church, they go to synagogues, stuff like that.
Okay, bismillah. So they go to certain places where Shaitan wants them to go to, yes?
Is it by disobeying Allah, you're indirectly...
Okay, but by disobeying Allah, you're obeying Shaitan? Yes and no. How do you worship Shaitan? I mean, that's... Yes?
Praying to a statue.
Praying to a statue, okay, but... some people do that, not everyone.
Freemasons.
Anything and everything now, just get it out. Freemasons, yeah. The key to answer this question is to understand what ibadah means. Yeah? Ibadah doesn't just mean worship. Please write this down. Ibadah in Arabic does not mean only worship. Ibadah means worship and obedience. This is the complete meaning of ibadah. The abd is the slave, right? Think about the slave-master relationship. How does a slave be a good slave to the master? He listens and he does. This is how a slave is a slave. Yeah? You know when two kids, brothers, they get into a fight, then the other one says, I'm going to go tell mom. He says, no, don't tell mom, I'll be your slave. Yeah, I'll be a slave, I'll do whatever you want. So he says, okay then, and what? Meaning now he's going to tell me to do X, Y, Z, right? Yeah, pick up all these things, give me all your sweets, let me play with your game, blah, 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 right? He's going to give him loads of commands. That is how he will be a slave. Yeah, so in the word ibadah doesn't just mean to worship, it means to obey as well. Both of the things come together. And so this is how we understand how people were told not to worship Shaitan. Meaning, you should not have listened to Shaitan when he used to tempt you to do things. Yeah, when he used to ask you to do things, you listened to him and you obeyed him. That is how you're worshipping Shaitan. And one of the amazing things in the Quran, Allah tells us that on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, Shaitan will speak to people and he will tell them the reality of his relationship with them. Yeah. In Surah Ibrahim, let's see what number this is. Surah Ibrahim, verse number 22. Shaitan will say, and Al-Hasan said, this is, Shaitan will be on a mimbar. He will be on a pulpit on the day of resurrection, and he will speak to people, and he will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. He was saying, truly Allah promised you something and He was true in His promise. And I promised you something and I went against my promise. Then He was saying, وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبَتُمْ لِي. He said, I never had any control over you. All I could do was to ask you and you would respond. This was it. It was a partnership. I would tempt you, and if you would succumb, then that's your fault. I couldn't make you do anything. All I could do was just whisper in your ear. You're the one who listened. Which means He knows that people are going to blame Him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And He's saying, hang on a minute, I couldn't control you whatsoever. All I could do, and da'awtukum, just to ask you, bro, why don't you try it? It's good for you, man. It's alright, mom and dad won't find out. It's alright, don't worry about it. Okay then. You see? This is the relationship basically between shaitan and human beings. In that way, when you listen to the whisper of shaitan, were you in fact worshipping shaitan? This is the understanding of don't worship shaitan. Meaning, don't listen to him. When he tells you to do what he told you to do, do not listen to him. If you do, in reality, Allah says you are worshipping shaitan. Now, I said, what to ask?
I missed the reference for this.
Surah Ibrahim, verse number 22. And so he ends by saying, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. He says, so don't blame me, blame your own selves. Don't blame me, blame your own selves. Now, the verse ends in a very powerful way. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. The basic meaning is, shaitan is an enemy to you. However, Allah intensifies this meaning using three linguistic tools. The first is to describe his enmity as being mubin. The second is to switch around the wording. Instead of saying he is a clear enemy to you, he said, to you he is a clear enemy. And the third is by using the harf inna, by using the word inna, which adds the meaning of truly. Three ways. Number one was what? Who's listening? Yes, Mubin. By describing as Mubin, Ibn Ashur said, it means that his enmity was clear and open. It wasn't hidden, it wasn't covert. I was thinking about this. You know, like people who cold call, they call you up, trying to sell you some double glazing. You don't need double glazing. You don't even have a house. Man's still trying to sell you double glazing. Yeah. Instead of trying to sneakily sell you double glazing, Shaitan, when he calls you up, is I'm calling from what company was he called from? Defrauding Limited. I'm calling from Defrauding Limited, and I just want to say that I'm out to get you, and I want to take all of your money. Would you mind giving me your PIN number? And that's clear. He's not even trying to hide it. He's just being sober about it. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Yeah, he's open about his enmity. He's not trying to hide it. He's not trying to, you know, cover it up, be subtle. He's being very upfront about his relationship with you. Now, one of the scholars, subhanAllah, he said that, how do you know that shaitan is telling you to do something? And it's not, for example, something which is actually good. He said, the way you know is you look at the consequence of doing it. If you did it, will you be punished? If the answer is yes, then that is actually something from shaitan. Yeah? This is the way you remove the confusion. Is it really good? Is it not really good? Well, let me ask myself, if I do it, am I going to get punished for this? If the answer is yes, then that thing I should not do it. Yeah? Yes?
Is it true that shaitan can speak to you in your own voice?
Is it true that shaitan can speak to you in your own voice?
Is it like your own thoughts, or how does that
work? Wallah, in terms of the voice of shaitan, I'm guessing it's not a very good voice. But what we know from Surah Al-Nas is that يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Yes, and in that he whispers in the chests of mankind. And in a hadith, or the narration of Ibn Abbas, a shaitan, he sits on your heart and he whispers to it. And if you listen, i.e. if you entertain his whisper, he will enter into your heart. Yeah, and then he will begin to run through your blood. Yes, so this is why Ibn Qayyim would say that, you know, shaitan, he has no power over people. He only uses the weapons that you give him. He only uses the weapons that you give him. If you entertain his whispers and say, yeah, I wonder how that would be like, and then you start to think and think and think, now you have opened the door of your heart to shaitan, and now shaitan is inside. Yeah? And that is why shaitan himself says, I had no control over you. And in another place, he says to Allah, I will misguide all of your slaves except the ones, ibadak mukhlasin, except the ones who are sincere to you. Where is sincerity lie? In the heart. If a person is genuine with Allah, meaning whatever he tries to do in life, he does it for Allah. Whenever he stays away from something, he only does it for Allah. Then his heart becomes sealed and like a fort. Shaitan cannot penetrate it. Yeah. And the best example of this is Yusuf alayhi salam. Literally, the whole world was trying to force him into doing zina. Yeah. Imra'at al-Aziz, the crazy lady, she was his master. Yeah. Husband doesn't care. Her friends get involved. And if he doesn't do it, he's going to prison. I mean, the situation was bad from so many angles. Allah said, we saved him. Why did we save him? إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Because he was a sincere slave of ours. If you're sincere, shaitan cannot get to you. Yeah, shaitan has nothing against you. Yeah. Anyway, this is speaking about shaitan now. Ar-Rajim. Allah ta'ala shaitan. So we said that this last part is made more intense in three ways. First, a mubin. What was the second way it's made more intense? Ahsant, very good. They call this the taqdeem of the muta'alliq bil khabr. Instead of saying he is an enemy, clear enemy to you, Allah said, to you he is a clear enemy. Yeah, and in English it doesn't really do much, but in Arabic what it does create is this sense of exclusivity. As if to say, the way he's an enemy to you, he's not an enemy to anybody else. Yeah, the way he hates you, he doesn't hate anybody else. He got a special hatred for you. Yeah, he's got it in for you. In a way, he hasn't got it in for anybody else. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And the last one is the word إِنَّ. The word إِنَّ gives the added meaning of truly, surely, there's no doubt. Okay. The second part of the covenant. The first part was, don't worship shaitan. Yeah. The second part is, وَأَنِعْبُدُونِي. The word أَن, yeah, أَنِعْبُدُونِي, shows that this is a continuation of what came before. This is this part B of the covenant. And the part B is the do, whereas part A was the don't. Don't worship shaitan. Part B is do this. What should you do? أَنِعْبُدُونِي, that you should worship me. Allah is speaking to those people. Allah said, this is what I told all of you. You all knew it. Instead of worshipping shaitan, you should have worshipped me. Again, the word ibadah doesn't just mean to worship, it means to obey. So that means that you could have done ibadah of Allah in the masjid, at home, at work, with your friends, whilst on holiday, wherever, in space, if you're an astronaut. You could have been worshipping me. Because worshipping me, doing ibadah of me, is not just about praying salah, fasting. It's about being a good Muslim wherever you are. If you lived in my obedience, then you were worshipping me wherever you went. Your whole life is a culmination of ibadah to me. You know, one of the beautiful things about the word ibadah is the Arabs used to call the sunflower abadu shams. The sunflower abadu shams. Can you hear the word ibadah in there? Yeah. And it seems as though one of the reasons they said that it's like the slave of the sun is because when the sunflowers grow, they begin to track the movement of the sun. In the morning when the sun is in the east, they face towards the east, and then by the evening they face towards the west. Yeah, they call this the heliotropic nature of sunflowers. And they call, the Arabs call that Abad al-Shams. They are like the worshippers of the sun. Yeah. And they would call the beautiful lady Ma'buda, because when a woman is very attractive, everyone seems to, you get the idea basically. Yeah. Yeah. So, ibadah has another dimension, which is it's not just outwardly, it's always inwardly as well. Yeah, it's a combination of actions on the outside with similar feelings from the inside. You worship Allah, meaning you obey Allah. But do you do it lovingly? Do you do it willingly? When you trust in God, do you trust because you have to or because you want to? Yeah. When you fear Allah, is it because your mom and dad said, listen, you're going to go to hell if you don't pray, okay? Or is it because, you know, genuinely I fear Allah. Genuinely I fear Allah. These feelings of hope, of love, of fear, they are the inward dimension of ibadah. And i'buduni, therefore, means to worship me in a complete sense. Worshipping, praying, as well as being obedient, as well as feeling genuine feelings of love and hope and trust in me. وَأَنِ يَعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. This is a straight path. Now, the straight path, was that spoken about early on in Surah Yasin? Has that been mentioned before in Surah Yasin? It has, right at the beginning. Allah said, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى صِرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah told the Prophet, you are on a straight path. And now Allah is telling us that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, He will tell humanity that, you know what, you should be on the straight path. Just like that man or those men were on the straight path. This is almost like a review of Surah Yasin from the beginning. Now, one of the really interesting questions is, why didn't Allah put the whole covenant in one verse? Part 1, don't worship Shaitan. Part 2, worship me. Simple, right? Why didn't Allah put it inside one verse? Why didn't Allah say, O children of Adam, I told you not to worship Shaitan, and instead to worship me. Instead, Allah said, you don't worship Shaitan, full stop, new sentence, and that you should worship me. Does everyone get the question first? Does the question make sense? Anyone not get the question?
Yeah?
It's not clear. So, the covenant is, number one, don't worship Shaitan, number two, worship me. You can put that inside one sentence, no? But Allah split them. Part one and part two separately. Okay? Why? What's the benefit of this? Yes. Adam.
Is it because shirk is the antithesis to ibadah and worship, and therefore because of that, they both mean the same thing by not worshipping
yes and no. The brother said that they're both the opposites of each other. The opposite of both, yani, is implied. If you didn't worship Shaitan, it means you're worshiping Allah. If you worship Allah, it means you're worshiping Shaitan. Well, that kind of means that one is enough. Isn't it? That's what it means. Instead, if Allah Jalla wa'ala could have just said, you know, don't worship Shaitan, in brackets, means worship me.
I think Allah wanted to separate Shaitan.
Allah did separate, but why?
Because He doesn't want to, Shaitan is on the other side, isn't he? So,
someone at the back, yes.
Distinction and emphasis.
Emphasis, possibly. Anything more than that, yes. Separate truth and falsehood, okay, distinguishing both, making them clear. Perhaps this is like emphasis though.
Clear instruction, clear message.
Clear instruction, some people, they don't take their medicine, even if you write it clearly on the bottle, isn't it? Yeah. Write it in two different places. No, nobody else? Yes.
Could it be that if somebody reads the Quran,
yeah,
they miss one verse, to see the other, the message is still clear. Somebody was hearing it,
example,
the Prophet was reciting, and somebody walked past and did not
hear
that verse, but heard the other one,
and yeah,
it was still clear.
So the brother said, just because he was sitting as well, if somebody only heard one verse, perhaps the one listening to the one before, then at least they will still get the message. It's true, but that's a very particular benefit. Yeah, it seems like only a few people in the world will get that benefit. It must be a more general one, a more encompassing one. Last opportunity, nobody else?
Two separate messages. One is clearly, one ya'buduni hadha siratun mustaqim.
Yeah.
One is only the message. And the other one also is only the message. They do not.
It's emphasis then, you're saying it's emphasis. Okay. Ibn Ashur, he said that it is possible for someone to be true to one part of the covenant. What that means is that sometimes in life you find people, they're very ethical, very moral, meaning they don't listen to shaitan. But do they worship Allah? No, they don't. So Allah made it clear, you might try to be as ethical as you can be in your life, but you're still going to go to the, you're still going to go to Jahannam unless ani'buduni, you worship me as well. This is only half of the covenant what you fulfilled. My covenant with you was more than this. It was that you don't behave like a shaitan in this life, and instead you worship me, enslave yourself to me. Yeah. And it could also be argued the other way as well. Sometimes people, they can be very good at worshipping Allah. Yeah, they can be very good at worshipping Allah. But at the same time, they're very good at listening to shaitan as well. Well, I just recently, subhanAllah, a brother told me that he has an auntie in his family. And I'm not speaking against aunties here, but he said this auntie, she prays hundreds of nawafil every day. However, her daughter said to her, "Mom, why do you pray hundreds of nawafil every day when you backbite everyone every day as well?" She said to her, "Your nawafil is not going to count for anything. You backbite everyone all the time." What she said is very true. Sometimes you get people, you know, when the topi comes on, mashallah, tabarakallah. When the topi comes off, la ilaha illallah. Yeah. A shaitan in the workplace, shaitan, defrauding people, cheating people. Then he comes to the masjid for dhuhr, mashallah. Yeah. Have you seen this? It happens. It's like they're two different people, split personality. Yeah. Allah is saying there's two parts of the covenant. Don't listen to shaitan and worship me. This is the complete covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to mankind. Every human being intuitively knows this, but the messengers came to explain this in detail. Then Allah ended by saying, "Hada sirat al-mustaqim." This is a clear path. The word hada is a pointer. You can say this and you can say that. When you say this in Arabic, you say hada. When you say that, you say dhalika. When you say hada, it brings what you're speaking about close. Allah is saying, this is the straight path. Meaning, it was easy for you to access. It wasn't some obscure something that you had to research for a long time to find out what the truth was. It was there. It was inside of you. The message was all around you. My signs are all around you. It's not obscure. It's very clear what I wanted from you. هذا صراط المستقيم. Allah called guidance a straight path. The word sirat is a very unique word. We spoke about it before. Of the meanings it has is a path that is wide, and a path that is clear, and a path that is elevated. Three things: wide, clear, and elevated. And that is why the scholars like Imam al-Razi said, the path of Allah, it brings the person to the destination in the quickest possible way, which is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it is a path that is wide, meaning it can accommodate every person in the world. It is not restricted. Membership, 1,000 people, khalas. 1,001, sorry, with no room for you today. No. Everyone can enter. And it is clear, not obscure. Allah said, this is as-sirat. Mustaqim means straight, not crooked.